The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Granny audio something. This is Jeremy, and a special show this week because we have the long time ago crew of Eric Nelson.
Yo, what's going on? Okay. Something.
And then long time standard, original father of the audio experience with me, Mr. Dusty Giebank. What's up, Dusty?
Hey now, what's going on?
So there you go. That excitement level is what you're going to expect from that 30, 40 minutes. So, yep.
Oh, if this goes 30 minutes, I'm going to sodomize a sheep. There's no fucking way.
This isn't going to cut. No. This thing will go off the rails. But the thing is, it takes us 30 minutes to get warmed up.
Yes!
Yeah. You know, we've already been on the phone 30 minutes. Great. That's promising. So.
That's right. Let me tell you something, brother. I love Subway sandwiches, especially the mayonnaise.
No, you don't get mayonnaise, dude. Spicy Italian with tomatoes, onions, jalapenos, and a little bit of chipotle.
Okay.
Deliciousness.
I'm glad you went chipotle. That's good.
I do.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have to. If you're a man, you know, you can act like a man.
So do you allow them to put the Subway standard amount of chipotle on your sandwich, which means it's
not
half
at all.
Of that squirt
bottle?
Not
at all. I say light chipotle. And usually that just means you get a condominium-sized amount.
That is the worst.
Elbow drops your chipotle ranch.
Right.
No, that was one of the other things I forgot to mention. When even their light amount, I don't like being specific when I go there. I'm like, I just want a little bit of ranch dressing, and I'm like, I'm on a thin line, and then they start putting it on there, and I start panicking. I'm like, no, just load it just a little bit, and then in their defense, they do a very small amount, and they look at me like, is that enough, asshole?
They look up at you like a puppy dog that just like, I don't know, just like, or I don't know, brought you a dead animal out of the lawn or something like that. Like, did I do a good job? Please don't touch me.
Did I pet the puppy now?
Yeah.
I mean, if you work at Subway, life has beaten you down so much that you're gun shy about everything. So.
or you have like the really young teenage girl.
Yeah.
That is gone after 2 weeks. So it's like, this bitch is taking forever to make a sandwich. So it's like torture for 2 weeks, and then she's gone. Like, oh, boy.
I actually had one this past weekend. She almost dropped my bread twice.
Oh, dropped the bread? What was she doing with your bread?
I don't know. She was probably counting down until she could take more meth or something. I don't know what she
Well, I was going to say, there are those little holes where they just put the wax paper from, you know, your freshly cut meat comes off of. So, maybe she was trying to avoid that and tried to pick it up and it almost fell.
Because it's probably not the first time that day she's put something that size in a hole.
Well, you know, Subway's not paying all the bills, I suppose. So. I'm so confused on what our format is today. What are we even talking about?
We were talking
about Mount Rushmore, the Dan Le Batard show.
Yeah.
Teacher wearing wrestlers and something else.
Oh, great. I got the format right here. Let me.
He went ahead and mentioned Levitard. I was content to just steal his material without mentioning his name.
Yeah.
The original format of our show, we were stealing stuff. It's not as bad if you admit it up front. That's what I'm going to stick with.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll go with that angle. Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to the What Would Tyler Durden Do website of professional wrestling news from Granny.com.
Yeah.
Where we bring you the finest in Dan Levitard gimmicks on the Stunt Granny audio.
Right.
You have a favorite show? Let us know. We'll steal it from there, too. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't know. We've got a few things to include in the show tonight. We have Top 5 at 5. It's the Top 5 news segments of the week. It's not even 5 o'clock, so I don't know why we're calling it Top 5 at 5. We got the Top 5 at 5, followed by Mount Rushmore. Who belongs on the Mount Rushmore of whatever Dusty selects? And this week we're going to talk about general managers, the Mount Rushmore of general managers in professional wrestling. If we have an opportunity... Oh, my God. If we have an opportunity, we're going to play Which is Worse, where we give Dusty and Jeremy two options, and they decide which one's worse. And if we get around to it, we're going to play Let Me Tell You Something, Brother, which we already started. It's going to be a great time. Oh, my God. We might even play half a game of Match Game, where I play the part of Gene Rayburn, and then you hear crickets after a couple of seconds, because it's one of the dumbest ideas I've ever had.
Yeah, neither one of us is Richard Dawson, so.
No, hopefully Eric will be like Ray Combs after it. So.
Yeah. I'm about as dumb as Brett, so. Works out okay. All
right. Well, what do you think? What should we just hop into the top five at five then?
Yeah, might as well.
Do it.
All right.
We could just call it the top five.
Nah, fuck it. It's the top five at five. 5 o'clock on the dot. The number one news item of the week, as voted on by Stunt Granny contributors, I guess, because a couple of us were bitching about it over IM today. WWE blows off the anonymous general manager storyline with Santino Marella discovering Hornswoggle IMing underneath the ring. I don't even know where to start with this except for to pass it over to Jeremy, because, like I said, you and I were complaining about this angle over IM earlier today.
Yeah. All right. I didn't mind that they brought the anonymous GM back as a whole. I mean, that, for the one day, that was fine. But it almost seemed like the entire show went into a time warp from 2 years ago. Now, all of a sudden, I mean, other than the reveal, it caused the whole show, like, Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole, like, Lawler suddenly hated and despised him again, where he'd been tolerating him and, you know, been trying to, like, tone it down, allow Cole to be just an announcer again.
Right.
Well, so that takes over, and then you've got the horrible backstage shit with Santino going up to Chris Jericho, who clearly doesn't care anymore, and then going up to the guy I convinced is retarded, the Great Khali. And I can't remember what, so he looked at the cell phone like it was a toaster.
Yes.
He had no clue what it was.
Because people in India don't have toasters. People in foreign countries, toasters. I mean, cell phones. People in foreign countries don't have cell phones. So, of course, the Great Khali would have no idea what he's doing. I'm just a caveman.
Well, especially with a guy. Well, it would make more sense if he was, like, a Kamala type or something. But they've made bones to say this guy is, like, a legit celebrity. He's a big-time guy or whatever else. So he's going to have one. I mean, I don't know. It just rubbed me the wrong way. And then, especially because he can't act anyways, he's retarded. I don't think he understands anything.
Mm-hmm.
So Santino's talking to him, and he's just mumbling, and then grabs the toaster and waits for the mini toast to pop out. And Santino walks away with his Sherlock Holmes kit. And then the entire time of the anonymous GM, no one thought to look around. And no one thought to look under the ring, or the fact that if it's an anonymous GM using email, he doesn't need to be in the building, or she doesn't need to be in the building anyways.
Yeah. Is there any way to track IP addresses? Because that could help. Or I love the fact that you just started that thought with nobody bothered to look around.
Yeah.
What if, like, if you got fucking rear-ended, like, every week, like, every Monday on your way home from work, you got rear-ended and you didn't even, like, look around.
Yeah.
like an adult.
And I think back, wasn't Hornswoggle still pretty much half Mongoloid back then, too?
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Whatever. It just seemed totally unnecessary, and it just shows the glaring problems with Monday Night Raw. Just the kitty shit's just wearing on me. So that's
very,
what all that crap was.
So. Dusty, I'm gonna throw this at you in the form of which is worse, Santino searching for Hornswoggle all over the arena at Monday Night Raw, or Leslie Nielsen searching for the Undertaker at SummerSlam 1994.
Oh my God!
Everything is worse than Leslie Nielsen searching for the Undertaker because Leslie Nielsen is God. But I'm the real. This is worse anyway. Santino's just not funny. He used to be, but he's not anymore. And Hornswoggle was never funny. And
no, I agree.
I don't
with that.
Know exactly what the problem is. Whether it's A, they change writers too often, or B, the writers they have no attention spans and no long-term memory, but they just keep changing stuff.
Well,
I mean,
once you've weeded through all the Seth Mateses and John Pierre Marinskis and all the other gods of fucking pen and paper in this world that now have to turn to Twitter and Pro Wrestling Torch, then, yeah, of course you're left with a bunch of ADD writers. Am I right?
You are! Exclamation point. The Cole and Lawler thing, Jeremy hit it right on the head there. Hornswoggle changing. He's either a mongoloid or undercover intelligent, depending on what day of the week it is. It's just stupid. And it lacks consistency. There's no transition. It's just one week he's this and the next week he's that. And it's just low IQ writing. And it's not funny. It'd be okay if it was funny. I don't mind kiddie shit. If it's good, you know. But this isn't good.
Well, let me ask you this, Dusty. This is something that Jeremy and I talked about over IM. The idea that this was the blow-off to the angle versus the option of – now, they tied the angle up. They tied up this whole stupid anonymous GM thing that they started 2 years ago, and now it's come to a conclusion. They could have gone one of two ways. They could have blown it off in this stupid cartoony way and never said another thing about it. Or they could have maybe assigned somebody this role, and then they would have had to put forth the effort – to continuing the storyline. Would it have been worth it to do that, given, you know, whatever factors?
Yeah, they showed no interest in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just wanted it to go away when it was convenient for them to have it go away. So no thought was put into it. And why should I put any thought into it if they don't even care?
I do feel like on Stunt Granny Audios, we frequently put far more thought into WWE programming than they do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I have a follow-up question for Jeremy, but actually, before I get to it, it's something you mentioned when you were talking about this Santino Marella backstage bullshit. But here might actually be the best time to get into the Mount Rushmore segment. We're talking about general managers. Of course, Mount Rushmore, four very famous presidents. I think they're all presidents. Yeah, they're all presidents. And so on certain sports and talk radio shows, they do a segment where they ask, who would be on the Mount Rushmore of such and such? So Dusty chose the subject of general managers.
I did.
Yes. Dusty, let's start with you then. Who would you put on the Mount Rushmore of general managers in the history of professional wrestling? Who would you take dynamite and a fucking chisel and a hammer up to a rock and carve their faces in stone?
Well, this would be the best looking Mount Rushmore of all time because it's going to have Jack Tunney on it. It's going to have Gorilla Monsoon. You got to have Bill Watts on there.
Yep.
And for the last spot, God, I don't know.
Are you interested in taking a pass to send it over to Jeremy and see what he's come up with?
Yeah, why not? I think Jeremy's choices would shock and amaze me. Go ahead.
Okay, so I guess we're going with WWE presidents as well for this, and like WCW executives.
Any type of authority figure.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what they call it.
Well, shit. All right. Well, yeah, I think we're going to agree. But I'm going to go, obviously, Jack Tunney, because when we were all kids, he was the one. You know, kind of useless, but still. Gorilla Monsoon, just because I remember Vader beating him up. That was pretty awesome.
Yep.
Can I just remind everybody, by the way, that the snake was devenomized by the lab? This is a great undertaking. And I thought the Undertaker was going to win the Royal Rumble when he said that.
Yeah.
I thought that was a clue. But anyway.
I always thought it was so cool that, like, something would happen one week. And then the next week he would be like, I saw that shit go down, and I'm going to have a ruling on it next week. And then the following week he would make some kind of ruling about it. Like, only two members of Demolition can be at ringside at one time, you know, and it would be like a month-long thing. And that was just so much better than how they do it now.
Yeah.
And built some intrigue from week to week. In my opinion, Jack Tunney is the prototype of what a general manager should be.
Mm-hmm. I agree totally. Because, what they have now in this, like, era of instant gratification is the general manager is just on the other side of the curtain with his own theme music. And as soon as something goes awry, he's right there. And, yeah, I love the cliffhanger aspect of, well, what's Jack Tunney going to do about the snake being devenomized, you know? That was made for much better TV and prolonged storylines, which is great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jeremy, do you have a couple others?
Well, I was going to say, who is the AWA guy?
Stanley Blackburn?
I'm seriously trying to remember. And it was during the whole Kurt Hennig beating Nick Bockwinkel because Larry Zbyszko slipped him a roll of quarters or whatever. And it goes back to what Dusty was talking about, how, like, yeah, we saw that, and it was like a board of directors, but it was one of my favorite angles, which is why I wanted to put it on there. It's my fucking Mount Rushmore, so. But
I know they mentioned Stanley Blackburn all the time. I don't know if it was him or they might have used Wally Carbo.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Going to authority figures, only because of the current age, or current, whatever you want to call it, Teddy Long was actually okay, except for the fact he always makes tag team matches. But I guess right now, just because it's so different to have a face as a GM, other than I think Hulk Hogan, I guess, is a face for TNA, but I don't know. He always got the crowd. It was always kind of, it was almost not Jack Tunney, but you know what I mean? It seems like there's more fairness going on with him in relation to all the shit that goes on with how GMs work now. So that's the only reason I put him on there.
Well, I'm actually upset that I didn't think of him. I have a different baby face. I have Jack Tunney, of course. I put down Cowboy Bill Watts because that era of WCW was great. And part of it was Bill Watts behind the scenes, and a small part of it was him in front of the camera, too. I said Mick Foley, and, you know, we all know how I feel about Mick Foley nowadays, but at the time, the babyface general manager was kind of unique after a few years of heel general manager. Plus, all the good times he had with Edge and Christian made it very memorable to me. Teddy Long would be a perfect replacement for Mick Foley on this list. But I put down Vince McMahon. The evil, he personified the evil general manager. And sure, Eric Bischoff was around before him, and somebody could make a case for Eric Bischoff in WCW from 96 to 98.
Yeah, he was actually going to be, that was going to be one of the ones I was going to mention.
Okay, there you go.
But that's a big deal.
Cool.
It's Eric Bischoff. I mean, yeah. But.
All right.
So I guess Jack Tunney and Gorilla Monsoon are definitely up there.
Yep.
You guys both said Bill Watts, right?
Yep.
All right. So we got three solids, and then
there you go.
Whoever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fourth spot is subjective. know?
Yeah. The viewers can vote. The listeners of Stunt Granny Audio can vote for the number four. And
yeah,
we'll report on it someday, I'm sure.
Yeah, those would be blank slates, you know? It would be like a, I don't know, reflection pool.
Yeah.
Put your own face up there, and we can sell it in the gift shop where you can, like, buy different faces and all that sort of thing to put on your wall poster.
You can put your own face there like a jib-jab.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeremy, here's the thing that I wanted to get at with you is you'd mentioned Chris Jericho looked like he'd basically all but given up backstage. Just talk about that because you're exactly right.
Okay. It actually really came to head last week. And it's the whole when he came back and he was bitching out Cena, that was kind of fun. He had a new jacket that worked. It's still kind of stupid, but at least it worked better than the old one. Well, then they have him back. They start doing the gimmick, the catchphrase gimmick, and he keeps saying ever over and over again.
Yeah.
And then they go backstage, and him and Daniel Bryan are going back and forth, and I'm like, is he even trying? I mean, he can't care anymore. Well, then this week, he's back there with, I totally lost who it was. Oh, he was talking to Santino.
Yeah.
And it was just more of that childish shit. And it really just hit me, like, he doesn't care. The in-ring work's been fine. That's not a problem. But I don't know. It almost seems like him getting suspended for whatever happened in Brazil the flag.
For kicking the flag, yeah.
Right. And you mentioned it. You mentioned, like, opponent-wise, but you got to figure he comes back after not being there for, 2 years, whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
travels, you know, has a pretty high-profile match. That burns out. And then he goes to Britain, and he's just kind of lost right now. And then he goes to Brazil, gets suspended. And then he was touring with his band and doing some other stuff, and you almost have to wonder if he just went, I don't want to do this, but I'm contractually obligated, you know, so I'm kind of stuck doing this now.
I can see that as a distinct possibility. I mean, you're right, timeline-wise, that's dead on. I mean, he seems so demoralized after the flag-kicking incident. And at the same time, like I had mentioned, he's got a lack of opponents. You know, it's not like he's got the Shawn Michaels and Rey Mysterios to choose from. And, you know, he doesn't get to wrestle CM Punk anymore. And then it's also possibly part of what, Dusty, you've already said, just the cartoonish, childish bullshit that is WWE right now.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking Chris Jericho could only make Subway tuna salad out of tuna shit for so long.
Retching on that one.
And this is what we've got.
Jericho eats 3 a day to keep himself big and strong.
I don't think he's big anymore. I mean, literally, like, I think his motivation has withered away and died along with his physique and his fucking, I don't even know what else.
At this point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's just a shell of his former self. And the sad thing is, his former self was just his former self like 4 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
Yeah, the motivation, I mean, we talked about a possible, just for the sake of fans, you know, I mean, Daniel Bryan and Chris Jericho. They'd have to do some finagling on that one, but
yeah.
But that's about it. I mean, do you want to see Jericho versus Sin Cara? I don't know. I mean, do you want to see Sin Cara versus anybody?
No.
Not particularly.
Yeah. No. Would it be cool to see Jericho wrestle in that really cool blue light?
Yeah. It would go so well with his sparkly jacket, right, Dusty?
Yeah. Yeah, you nailed it. Yeah.
Jesus. Well, how about we go from a man who doesn't give a shit anymore to somebody who's finally been given a chance?
Yeah.
Number two on the top 5 at 5. Here's a breaking news for those of you who have been under a rock for a while. Breaking news. TNA Orlando, 2012. Austin Aries, independent darling for years and years and years, a guy with Rocky attitude and Rocky addiction for marijuana. I don't know. I just said it's halfway. It's not fucking Rocky. The guy fucking smokes weed. What are you going to do? Austin Aries has been finally given a chance in TNA. Austin Aries. Star. Austin whatever else he was. Now Austin Aries finally beats, oh, good job, Bobby Roode, the face of TNA, brother. Beats Bobby Roode in the main event of Destination X to win the TNA World Heavyweight Championship, the most prestigious championship in all of TNA Impact Wrestling.
Hey.
Hey, how about that? Dusty, what do you make of this? What do you make of Austin Aries? 12 years ago, he would have been the vanilla midget, and now all of a sudden, Hulk Hogan's letting him have a run of the place. What do you think?
Let me tell you something, ATM Eric. He don't know how to draw money, dude. He's too short, brother. He doesn't get it, dude. He's a mid-card talent at best, man. No, finally they take the World Heavyweight title off of the Honky Tonk Man. For fucking tone-deaf booking. The Honky Tonk Man was a great secondary champion, and you don't give that gimmick to the World Heavyweight Champion. You're fucking idiots. You're fucking tone-deaf, know-nothing-about-professional-wrestling morons, okay? Fuck. So,
yeah,
anybody would have been better, almost, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But for it to be Austin Aries, that's great. That's a breath of fresh air. The guy fucking gets it. He's like, he understands wrestling and he knows his character. He knows what he wants to be. There's a lot of guys in TNA that are one-dimensional, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Robbie E, for as much as I like Robbie E, he's like one-dimensional. He's not going to get past where he is now because there's nothing else to him. But Austin Aries is well-rounded and a tremendous talent, so this is awesome.
There you go. I agree with that totally. Austin Aries wrestled one of my absolute favorite matches I've ever seen live all time. Austin Aries and Roderick Strong against Seema and Naruki Doi, Ring of Honor Chicago 2006. Fantastic match. I've met the guy in person. He's a good guy. He just likes to smoke a little bit. But you're right. He gets it. I suppose until now that he's TNA champ, you know, he would come to Waterloo, Iowa for the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in July, and he'd wrestle on the Impact Pro Wrestling card, and he would hang out at the bar afterward, and he would come to the museum and check it out. It's like, you know, he's from the Midwest. He clearly loves the sport. He loves what he's doing. But I really think, and I'll turn this over to Jeremy, I think probably the bigger story is, not just that that Austin Aries is the champion, but that Bobby Roode isn't the champion anymore. What do you think of that, Jeremy?
Well, at first I thought, all right, everything seemed to be, was it the Bound for Glory series, whatever they have, that it seemed like it was going to be James Storm taking on Bobby Roode.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, that seemed kind of predictable. So for them, you know, they're going to have to change it. But then I started thinking, they had a match between Austin Aries and Samoa Joe, was it a few months ago? No, I don't think it was the last pay-per-view, was it?
Gosh, now I don't remember. Oh, man.
It was a pay-per-view or two ago. It was a good match. And Austin Aries went over clean.
Mm-hmm.
So they seem to be giving Samoa Joe a renewed, like, push again.
Yeah.
They let him beat Angle, by whatever means. He's kind of getting his look back together again. He seems to be being taken more legitimately than he has been.
And as of the time of the recording of this, he actually leads in points in the Bound for Glory series.
Right. So, it almost, I mean, it's Impact Wrestling, so I want to think that Aries will still be champion, but if that is the case, it almost kind of seems like they've got something built in. And you've got that story with Joe about how he used to be on top.
Mm-hmm.
He's been floundering ever since. So, it kind of made me think, well, maybe they've got something different planned. I don't know what you do with James Storm and Bobby Roode after that, though. So,
right.
You know, I don't know.
I could see an option where, you know, they feel like Bobby Roode and James Storm don't, maybe they feel like within the TNA universe, which is much smaller than WWE's little bubble, but that Bobby Roode and James Storm just don't need the world title to feud, you know, to get their feud over, you know. In WWE, though, that's almost like saying, like, I don't know, Evan Bourne and Jack Swagger don't need the world title or something, but anyway, it's neither here nor there.
Oh, I can assure you, Jack Swagger doesn't need the world title.
Jack Swagger doesn't need a fucking paycheck every other week.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
damn,
yeah,
I forgot about Evan Bourne. Damn.
Yeah, oh, I know. Trust me, he's in the match game segment if we get that far.
Oh, no.
Or we probably shouldn't. So, yeah, I could see Austin Aries, Samoa Joe, as kind of those, like, flag bearers for the new generation and the indie-type, you know, wrestlers that everybody on the Internet loves. And then you've got James Storm, Bobby Roode doing their thing, and whoever the hell else doing Angle and Styles and Kazarian and Daniel doing their thing.
And does it really matter does it really matter for TNA who the champion is or who's chasing any of that stuff? Because it's really been, the ratings have been the same, no matter who's been on top, you know?
Yep.
So, what does it matter? Why not just try something different? The pay-per-view buys aren't...
Pay-per-view buys aren't any different. Oh, hell no. They're barely hitting, you know, 12,000 for, what, Slammiversary or whatever it was?
Right.
Yeah.
And their 1.0 rating, which, hey, here's a good segue. Here, we can play, let me see, what the fuck game is it? Oh, we can play match game here. Let's play a round of match game, and let's see how this goes on air. Because it went so fucking great off air.
Oh, God. All right.
God. Speaking of TNA's ratings and the 1.0 that they pull in on Spike TV pretty much every week, which apparently Jason Powell finds as some sort of reason for TNA to celebrate when they can go from a 0.98 to a 1.0 over 1 week. So the issue is, for those of you who don't know or didn't see the post earlier today, DirecTV and Viacom are actually having a dispute, and it's possible that Viacom, they have actually threatened to pull all of their networks off DirecTV as of tonight, the night we record this. So, in my best Gene Rayburn non-impression, in response to Impact Pro Wrestling possibly being pulled off of TV, TNA TV champion D-Von proclaimed, "Well, they better not take away my blank." Once again, Viacom has threatened.
I don't get it. Can you repeat it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Betty White. You bet I will.
Yes.
You bet, Kitty. What's her name? Kitty Carlisle? I sure will.
Oh, my God. A Kitty Carlisle reference.
Yeah.
No Viacom one knows what the fuck you're talking about.
I hope someday I can be as good looking as Annie Duke.
Oh, shit. Okay. Viacom. Once again, Viacom has threatened to pull all of its networks off DirecTV. In response, TNA television champion D-Von proclaimed, "Well, they better not take away my blank." Dusty, what do you got written on your card there?
A timely reference.
D-Von proclaimed, "They better not take away my blank."
Food stamps.
Nice, very nice. Jeremy, here's the guy who holds the championship of television. His show might be off television. D-Von proclaimed, "They better not take away my blank."
My muscle shirt.
And it looks like our contestant Joni had kids. They better not take away my kids.
Oh. No matches
kids.
This round.
No matches this round. Maybe in a future round.
Oh.
All right. Well, I think that about says it all for Austin Aries and Bobby Roode. I think we pretty much nailed all those nails right on the head. Let's just do this briefly because I'm sure we've talked about her fucking ad nauseum. I know we did off air, and there's really only so much you can say, but number three piece of news on the top five at five. Wow, I feel like I've been hanging out with Austin Aries here. AJ, Diva AJ, WWE AJ Lee on Twitter, continues to be featured on Monday Night Raw. Dusty, I recall back to when we played the WWE roster game a couple of months ago. You referred to AJ as a 12-year-old boy.
No, I said she physically resembles one.
Oh, okay.
Which I stand by.
Otherwise, what do you make of this? I mean, this is 2 weeks in a row that and you know, people like Jim Ross have made a big deal out of on Twitter and on his blog. Monday Night Raw ends with a shot of AJ. This is big for the young lady making the most out of her minutes. Well, what do you think of that, Dusty?
I thought, regardless of what you think of AJ, didn't that segment go way too long? I'm just, in general, I'm against those fucking 9-hour-long opening segments. But to praise her, she's a really good actor, and she's getting over. And I actually saw her charisma in NXT, and, you know, this is no surprise to people who watch that show. She had talent then, and, you know, now she's getting a chance to show it. So,
yep.
Good for
That's
her.
Great. Yeah, absolutely. Jeremy, what do you make of AJ's continued push? Is it something that, you know, it's not like the Punk Bryan feud has gone on too long. That's definitely not the case. But is it something that actually helps continue your interest in the feud? Does it matter that she's in it, or are you happy for her? What do you think?
I'm trying to remember what I said earlier. If someone dropped an anvil on her, I wouldn't care. It's not that I don't like her.
It wouldn't make her any flatter.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, the 12-year-old boy thing. Pretty close. I didn't really think of that, but...
No, it's 100%.
I don't like when she does the yes thing, because she sucks her stomach in, and it's just everything concaves when she does it, and it's like, she's a cute little girl, but it's like, yeah, you're two champions fighting over some bitch, and it's like, whatever. Or a guy, I mean, you got a championship at stake, and they're fighting over some broad, and it's like, whatever. And the whole marriage proposal thing, I don't know. Dusty hit it when he said this thing went on forever.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. And it's like, okay. And the only good thing that can come out of this is if CM Punk does manipulate her to win the belt or retain the title.
That's what I'm hoping.
Kind of like, goes heel or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There doesn't seem to be anything shocking unless they incorporate Caitlyn into it, which, for whatever reason, they refuse to use her for anything substantial.
I will say this about your point about them fighting over abroad, is that really they're not so much fighting over her. That's kind of, to me, that's kind of the beauty of the angle, is that it's not two guys fighting over a woman. It's two guys who have been fighting over a championship. And now this woman has managed. Holy shit! That bar's got a grain belt sign in the window. That's awesome. It's two guys fighting over a championship, and this crazy bitch has like found her way into both of their heads. And the fact that she is a good actress, like you said, Dusty, she's playing the part perfectly. The yeses maybe leave a little to be desired, but otherwise the psychosis and she's got a lot of good things going on, and she's cute. That helps, too, that she's cute. And she's like, the thing that worries me is going back to the 30-minute segment to open the show, and Dusty, you and I were talking about the new Aaron Sorkin television show, The Newsroom, being overindulgent.
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of, this to me is like, you know, some writer with WWE got their hands on this, and they're like, I'm going to make friends on the Internet. I'm going to put these guys on TV for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to look at pictures of AJ online.
Yeah, that's the worst thing. The writers they have are such fucking marks, you know. Pierre Mawini was a mark for Kelly Kelly. And you know that there's somebody on the writing staff now who beats it every fucking night to pictures of AJ.
Beats his dick like it forgot to call in and check in at midnight.
Indeed.
God. Yeah, I don't know. It's other than that,
like
I mean,
it,
I think
like it
that's...
ordered the fucking tuna sandwich at Subway or something. Just gonna crowbar that in.
Yeah. Well, before we move on to number four, wherever we're at.
Yep.
The one thing, whenever Punk gets in these goofy ass angles, wasn't he the one like in his rant a year ago or whatever it is now that he was talking about like making it not more real, but not having stupid angles like this.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know,
this kind of makes Punk a liar. Well, we've talked about this before. They made Punk write a check that he could not cash. They put him out there saying, like, I'm going to be the champion, the agent of change. I'm going to make things better. When you know good and goddamn well that you can't make the fucking show better, you as the writer who wrote that line for him, you're never going to make this fucking show better because you suck.
Right.
And now you've just taken this guy that people want to fucking get behind and, you know, he could be the new Stone Cold Steve Austin, and you're shooting him in the fucking foot, and you're losing out on money that you could have a fucking life print. You're doing it to yourself. They are doing it to themselves, and that's probably one of the most frustrating things of all. Like, it's fun to watch AJ kind of come into her own. It's great to watch Punk and Bryan have 30-minute matches that are good and whatever else, but...
Well, even the whole Agent of Change thing, his role got aped by John Cena. I mean, he was the one that had the problem with Laurinaitis the whole time, but then all of a sudden it just shifted away, and John Cena took over and got rid of Laurinaitis. It was like, well, wait a minute. Shouldn't that have been to conclude the Agent of Change or whatever else? That should have been Punk and not John Cena.
Yep.
But then, of course, then we have a big show of CM Punk feud, and that wouldn't go over well at all. So, but
yeah.
But yeah. I don't know. I just wanted to bring that up real quick. So
there are frustrating things that fall out of what is a good... Overall, good angle, but, you know, it's easy when you go back and you watch Superstars from August of 1990 and you see how great things used to be.
Yes. Well, like, the one that comes to mind, and I'll stop in a minute. The one that comes to mind, and this is, I mean, WrestleMania 3, you had all that bad blood with Ricky Steamboat and Randy Savage, and I understand it's a classic match, but it was the angle leading into it. You know, you had all this stuff. He had his larynx crushed by the ring bell. He had to come back from that. He had all this stuff. But then they just had a great match. You know?
Yeah.
And I guess that's the frustrating part is, you know, Daniel Bryan and CM Punk can have that great match. But they're just sabotaging it by having them inserting this broad into it and... You know, and you know it's going to affect the outcome of the match. So it just kind of dampens what they should have just left alone. Like, if CM Punk wanted to stand up for AJ or something, that would have been fine. And you have, you know, Daniel Bryan say, mind your own business, and then have her involved in that capacity. But then she's a special referee, and just, like, they're trying to manipulate. It's like, that would have been like putting George Animal Steel and Miss Elizabeth as special enforcers instead of just... outside people.
That's
true.
I will say this. The thing that people forget about the classic match between Ricky Steamboat and Randy Savage is that George the Animal Steel got involved.
Yeah, and they helped Ricky Steamboat cheat the win. You're fucking right,
So there's room for it. I mean, you know, I don't know if I'm as sour on the AJ thing as you are, or I don't know if you're really sour on it, or if you're just playing devil's advocate, but...
It's okay, yeah. I just want some actual wrestling, and I know WWE is the wrong show for it. I know it is.
Yeah, that's never going to happen, Jeremy.
I know.
Agent of Change, baby.
Whatever. All right.
Yep.
What's number four?
Number four on the hit list. Let's see. Whoops. Well, I'm coming to a green or red light because I'm driving like an asshole and talking on the phone. And I've got all these formats in front of me here. Number four, big news coming out of Ring of Honor and going into TNA. ROH Tag Team Champion Kenny King has jumped ship as champion with Rhett Titus, the All Night Express, and Ring of Honor. Kenny King and Ring of Honor came to an impasse in contract negotiations, and Kenny King jump to TNA. Dusty, I'm a fan of Kenny King. I don't know if you're a fan of Kenny King, personally.
Big fan of both, him and Titus.
Yeah. Do you think this is a good move for him?
Entertaining act. I don't... I guess you got to look at it like this. Which company is going to go out of business first? Probably ROH because they have less money. So
yeah.
From a bottom line standpoint, yeah, TNA is probably better. even though they're going to book him like a fucking schmuck and make him look like a dildo. But hopefully he can come out of it okay by the time WWE notices him. So.
Notices him again. Here's a guy who, was in, he's had kind of an interesting journey in his career from WWF Tough Enough to the independent scene to Ring of Honor to TNA now. I find him entertaining as hell.
Yeah.
I know it's just a small aspect of what could possibly be, but Jeremy Borash interviewed him during the Impact Post show. And it was a good interview. They gave him like 10 minutes to just sit there and spout off, and JB was tossing him softballs, and he was knocking him out of the park. They may book him like a schmuck, but they may actually do something with him too. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's like in the territory days, there's only so far you can go, and after a certain point, you kind of have to go somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
even if it's just to freshen up a little bit. And for that reason and the fact that he is likely to be able to get a paycheck, well, I don't know, maybe he'll qualify for food stamps, I don't know, but I mean, you're right, it's like, I could see ROH's checks bouncing before I could see TNA's
mm-hmm.
checks bouncing.
Yeah, well, I think going back to what Dusty said too, besides financially, Ring of Honor's talent pool is garbage.
Yeah.
That show's really, really hard to get through. And
like,
really, what are they going to do, fight the Briscoes or fight with the, who's Shelton Benjamin, Charlie Haas, whatever, world's greatest team. You know,
right.
It's like, go again? So...
Or in Chris Shore from ProWrestling.net's wet dream, you could wrestle Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander fucking every day for the rest of his life.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, the Young Bucks. I forgot about them.
Oh, yeah, oh boy.
No, you didn't forget anything.
Oh, okay. No, there's nothing left there. I mean,
there's
maybe a handful of major league talent there. The Briscoes, maybe. Bennett and Maria,
well, Bennett
maybe.
I was looking up, and Bennett may actually be gone.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was on the Secret Society. I don't know who posted it. Saying he's may have signed with WWE's developmental.
Nice.
Oh shit! Isn't he playing isn't he playing the captain of Team ROH in the Chikara 6-man tag team tournament? I want to say it's Bennett and the Young Bucks, but I could be wrong. It might be Elgin or some one of these other fucking white people that I don't recognize because I don't really ever watch ROH anymore.
Dude, you turn that on, and as soon as Truth Martini shows up.
Yep, I'm out.
I just want to scream.
Oh, fuck. I would rather get an enema from Don Callis than watch 2 minutes of Truth Martini on television.
Oh.
He's the worst.
Oh,
You didn't like the Book of Truth?
I wouldn't check it out from the library for free. He's probably the worst thing that could have happened to Roderick Strong at the worst time in Roderick Strong's career.
But isn't that like the hackiest like 70s gimmick? I'm Truth Martini. I wrote the Book of Truth. Here's my giant book with a dust cover, and I'm just gonna hold it and laugh. It's like, that's like Carney shit. That's not national television sort of deal. Even really, Prince Nana is not a national television deal. So it's
at least
you
the Sinister Ministers
Truth...
book. What's that again?
No, I was just going to say, you'd expect Truth Martini to be managing a guy whose finishing move is a pile driver. He's just soaked in 70s.
There you go. Okay. I got you.
Yeah.
I was just saying, at least Sinister Minister's book caught on fire every once in a while. That was kind of cool.
That was awesome. Sinister Minister ruled.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, because he hit his people.
No, I don't know.
Truth Martini should be managing the Young Bucks. Only because
he's got
a very Sandusky-ish sort of thing about him. So it actually makes sense that he's like got a power over his two young proteges.
Over the sweet young meat of Nick and Mike fucking Jackson or whatever their names are.
Sweet young meat. Ew,
yeah.
That sounds
that
a testimony.
Should be their new name. It actually kind of, I don't know what is more like, what has more overtones, the Young Bucks or sweet young meat.
Isn't that the name of a Monkees song?
Sweet young meat, yeah, probably.
Oh.
Either way, they're going to be the tag team champions of Smoky Mountain of Honor anytime now.
Yeah, no shit.
You're going to see them riding around on Jerry Jarrett's ranch on an ATV and a horse.
That's still one of the greatest things ever.
The year Jim Cornette lost me. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, who wants to play a round of match game, Ring of Honor style?
Hit me.
Go ahead. Why not?
Here we go. All right. Here's Gene Rayburn in my powder pink suit. Ring of Honor wrestler and former WWE Intercontinental Champion Shelton Benjamin. Shelton Benjamin of Wrestling's Greatest Tag Team turned 37 years old this week. Shelton Benjamin, 37 years old. Upon hearing this, Triple H remarked, "I always thought Benjamin was blank."
Oh, no.
Shelton Benjamin, Ring of Honor, former tag team champion, former WWE tag team intercontinental champion, member of Team Angle. Shelton Benjamin turned 37 this week. 37 years old. Upon hearing this, Triple H remarked, "I always thought Benjamin was blank. Dusty. What do you have on your card?"
A porch monkey.
Jesus.
That's what I'm trying to say here.
Well, there went half of the fucking East Coast consolation.
I literally
just heard everybody who fucking listens to this show go quick.
It's a reference to how racist Triple H is, okay? That's what I was going for, okay? Just relax.
No, you're right.
Just
you're right.
Relax.
I know. Oh, my God. Jeremy.
You don't want my answer.
Okay, moving on. The number 5 piece of news of the week. That's right. Myself and Dan Keister. And I believe Matt, the WWF fanatic, we're going to the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame this weekend in Waterloo, Iowa. That's right, the George Tragos Luthez Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame induction ceremony at the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Dan Gable Museum in Waterloo, Iowa this weekend. For more information, go to N as in national, WHOF as in fame.org, National Wrestling Hall of Fame. Check it out. The class of 2012 includes legendary wrestlers Don Curtis, JBL, of all people, Road Warrior Animal, should be fun to see him in all of his stockiness, Dan Severn, who's getting the George Tragos Award, Bill After, who's getting the Jim Melby Award for Journalism, and Stunt Granny favorite Kurt Angle will also be there. Please, God, don't let him know what I look like in person.
You're going to die.
I could be dead on the next audio. The next audio could be sound of me gurgling and dying.
Right.
Real quick rundown of things. Real quick. Friday afternoon, 1 p.m. tryouts with Jerry Briscoe at the 5 Sullivan Brothers Convention Center. 5:30 p.m.
Awesome.
Oh yeah. Oh, it was fun to watch last year. I'm gonna miss it this year because I have to work. But it was cool to see last year. 5:30 p.m. Friday, doors open for a 7 p.m. Impact Pro Wrestling show and autograph signing. including Colt Cabana, Baron Von Raschke, Danny Hodge, Larry the Axe Hennig, Mad Dog Vachon, Dan Gable, Perry Saturn, and a host of others, including your favorites from Impact Pro Wrestling. And then Dan and I are going to close down the bar like we did last year with the favorites of IPW, leading up to Saturday, 12 noon, Mixed Martial Arts Seminar with Dan Severn at the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. Should be scary. He'll probably sweat all over everybody. 1 p.m. Fan Fest at the Hall of Fame Museum, including a tribute to Danny Hodge and a Q&A session hosted by Bill After. Sorry, Brian Hoops, you've been demoted. At 2:30 p.m., 2:30 p.m., autograph signings with all the legends will be in attendance. I'll make sure and get JBL's autograph for you if I can, Jeremy. 5 p.m. reception, 6 p.m. banquet. Hopefully Mick Foley doesn't show up and eat all the pork chops. Followed by a 7 p.m. induction ceremony for all the aforementioned names on this sheet. So hopefully a bunch of good audios from myself and Dan and possibly even Matt coming to you over the course of the weekend from the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, Dan Gable Museum in Waterloo, Iowa. Any other thoughts on me possibly passing away by way of being choked out by Kurt Angle this weekend, Dusty?
Yeah, two thoughts. Matt fully intends on being there. He sent me a text. He told his in-laws about this, and they helpfully informed him that wrestling is fake. So I'm sure that was a real eye-opener for him. He had no idea.
Yep.
But as far as Larry the Axe Henning goes, I had a chance to talk to him the other day. He said he needed to lose 20 pounds. I told him, get your neck down a couple inches and you'll lose it. So,
you know, Mr. Perfect's old man was Larry the Axe Hennig, right?
Right.
Yeah. I wouldn't call him an old man.
Yes.
Jeremy, how about you? What do you think? I don't know what to ask you exactly, but what do you think? Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, Waterloo, Iowa.
Well, I think the first thing is, like I said, as long as I get an autograph, you're an acceptable loss. I mean, no offense, but, you know. outside of that, no. This would have been the really sweet year to go up there just to see if we could go out to the bar with JBL afterwards.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you think, that dude would be fun to party with. So
that's what
then,
I'm very seriously hoping for. Very serious.
You're just getting out. See, and that's the whole fantasy of it is you're just the wrestling nerd.
Yep,
he's going to treat you like that.
Yep, I'm not a wrestler. I haven't paid my dues. I didn't play football or any of that bullshit. I might be able to, trade a bar with him, and I won't even get the opportunity to do that because I'm just some fucking dork. So...
Mm-hmm.
But there you go.
How fun would that be? What a cool ass story that would be. Just getting fucking bitched on by JBL all night as he buys drinks for everybody.
Yeah,
that'd be fine. that'd be a lot of fucking fun. So, you know,
as long as he's buying shit.
Huh?
As long as he's buying.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Hey. No. He's on Fox News enough. He's got to have some sort of money. Just to buy his way on there to talk about shit and whatever else, and all his extravagant trips he takes to climbing mountains and shit that people are sponsoring. So he's saving all of his own money. And that makes me very, very envious. So,
yeah.
All this shit. This would have been a really cool year to get up there. Just because I'm not you. So if you would have introduced yourself as Eric Nelson, whatever else. You know, I would have been like, hey, he writes for this. I would have pulled it up on my phone. I see this. Just totally sell you under.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep. I can see it happening now. Right fucking under the Lex Express.
Yeah. I think he would have probably towed with his teeth under there. But but that would have been a cool year to go up there. But
yep,
it didn't work out. So.
Yeah, I'll keep everybody informed of what's going on as best I can over the weekend. Like I said, hopefully Dan and Matt and I will be having some beers, enjoying some pro wrestling and getting to talk to the legends, and we'll keep you up to date on how things are going. So I think that about does it for the old trusty format this week.
Yep. I think the match game was a smashing success, actually. I'm just going to put that out there. So.
Yeah.
I think.
God. All right. We're going to have to do that again in future weeks.
Yeah. You might not want to make them so easy next time. So.
There you go.
Here, I'll ruin
One for you. I'll ruin one for you here. Colt Cabana and Adam Pearce continued their Seven Levels of Hate series in St. Paul, Minnesota. Cabana left the match victorious while Pearce walked away blank. And, of course, answers could include fat, hungry, poor, still poor, I don't know.
Or still Adam Pearce.
Still Adam Pearce, yes. Thank you.
Yep.
Fantastic.
The man with the shitty ass.
You got a shitty ass.
What are you doing walking around with a shitty ass?
So great.
Jesus.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's pretty it then, huh?
Yeah, that's about it. I got to sign off. I got to get back inside and answer to my woman.
Were you driving this whole time?
You want to know a funny story? I actually drove all the way to Altoona, which is about 18 miles away, only to have Max text me and say, why don't we do band practice on Thursday? And I pretty much should have just gone over and fucking whipped my cock out and smacked him on the forehead with it, but I was on the phone, and that would have interrupted match game.
No, that might have actually been way better than the phone. And you know what? Actually, no, it wouldn't have been.
No, nah, it wouldn't have been better.
No.
So, all right, there you go.
Let Dusty's response again. So, I'm sorry, Triple H's response. Dusty used. That's it.
I don't know. he called Booker T boy, for God's sake. I mean, you know?
That's true.
Good
point.
I don't know. I'm a hypocrite. Harley Race did the same thing, and I love the guy, so I don't know. But
he did the same thing to Ron Simmons. Life is not fair.
Yeah, but didn't Ron Simmons, like, you know, Harley Race got his comeuppance, and Triple H never did?
That's true. Triple H, he won his match decisively. He hit his finishing move, and 30 seconds later got the pin.
So I think there's a slight difference that makes it okay.
Yep.
So, yeah. All right, let's get the fuck out of here. So
there you go. All right, I'm signing out.
All right, that was Eric. I'm Jeremy, and I'll do the plug real quick. All right, you can follow us on Twitter. We're at StuntGranny. I'm at Granny Mays. Dusty is at Dusty Gaming. DeFrango, Kevin is DeFrango11. Email us at StuntGranny at Gmail. You can follow us on iTunes. Just look for StuntGranny Audio Show. Is that it? Can I pull through that quick? Yeah, it works. So, thanks, guys. And, Dusty, you can take us out of here.
I understood about half of that.
as long as you go to Granny Mays on Twitter, everything's all good.
As long as you go to Granny Mays, you can get more of that insight.
Oh, shit.
It's just a plug. Who gives a fuck? You know,
we
don't even know when to follow us.
What's with DeFrango and numbers? Every username he uses, he has to put numbers in there. I don't know what's going on with him. But,
I don't know how to explain that. I can't remember what it is, though. I think it was like his first hockey jersey or something. It's always 11. Even if he doesn't need it, it's always in there. So.
Gotcha.
I don't know. Don't take me too seriously. I'm just jealous because I can't really count. But so don't worry about this, Kevin. I'm sorry.
If you wanted to count to 11, you'd have to whip out your cock and smack it on Max's forehead.
No! Let's have practice on Friday now. Yeah.
Oh, fucking Friday's worse than Thursday.
Let's have practice on Diesel Day. I take the rest of the band to see the Diesel. Jesus Christ. Oh, God,
Lord.
Too much fun.
Yep.
Every audio at Stunt Granny is too much fun, so listen. Yep.